Hello and welcome to MVP The Master's Voice podcast from MediaBrief.com. I'm your host and friend Pavanar Chawla, and I am truly delighted that I have with me today on this episode as my very special guest, someone I'm very fond of as a person and as a professional, as a distinguished professional, right? And he is literally a young veteran. I use that phrase sometimes, but this truly is a literal expression of that. Literally a young veteran. Please join me as I welcome someone who is one of India's top analysts in media and entertainment, in consumer, in internet. With me today is Karan Tawrani, Senior Vice President at Elara Capital. Karan,
thank you so much.
Welcome to the episode.
It's a pleasure to be here and look forward to this session with you.
Wonderful. Very quickly, very briefly, first, Karan, before we start, I must tell my listeners about you. It's a little courtesy I have to do to you. Everybody knows about you. Karan is an alumnus of JBIMS and HR College. He's been involved in institutional equity research for more than 16 years now, and four of them have been at Elara Capital, more than four of the last years. Karan has been focusing, as I said, on media, entertainment, consumer and the internet sectors, and he advises multiple large domestic and FII funds on investments in these industries. Karan has been ranked, as I said, the number one analyst, okay, for the Indian media and entertainment sector as per Asia Money Brokers poll across all geographies, across 3 years on the trot, 21, 22 and 23 actually. And Karan's always been very busy, very visible and very unequivocal when he speaks, right? And for which Karan has earned a lot of respect in the marketplace. So Karan, let's begin the conversation.
Definitely, look forward.
So Karan, we are recording this episode at a time when, what, it's about 2 weeks now since the IPL has started, IPL 2024. And it always does so much for both linear television and digital. So first, let's talk about how sports has now grown and surged even more than the past, especially into empowering digital. And now it's also driving linear so strongly, as we are seeing so far, early days yet. But how do you see, how do you look at how sports will empower media and entertainment in the coming years going ahead? What with the solid properties that Reliance and Jio Cinema have got?
So, you know, very interesting question, Pavanji. You know, sports is a very big genre, right? Yeah. So in terms of data, what we have seen in terms of numbers, about 6 years ago, linear TV share for sports genre was only about 10-11%. Today, that number is exploded to 30% plus. Two reasons for this. One is, of course, the adoption of sports, right? People want to watch sports live. So that's one genre which is very sticky for the TV audience because they want to watch it live without any interruption. And second, of course, you know, the GEC genre has seen a shift towards digital where people want to watch it on a catch-up TV basis. So because sports is a live offering, we've seen that sharp growth in terms of sports as far as linear TV side is concerned. I think that will sustain, right? In a way, that will probably grow even higher from here on. It could even go to 40% of the TV ad spend pie, given the kind of growth numbers you're seeing in sports. So that's the linear TV side. Mm. Now, coming to the digital side again, digital is the incremental lever for sport. Yeah. So somewhere I believe that, you know, it is not that sports is going only to digital and not on linear. The digital part is more of the catch-up consumption, you know, convenience, on the go. So sports has seen a very big fillip in terms of time spent and total consumption thanks to digital. Right. So I believe that both will coexist. I mean, the numbers can, you know, change very invariably. Like, for example, if you look at IPL, about 6 years ago, IPL, if you look at the revenues, ad revenues, 80% was from TV. Today, that number is shrunk to 55%, but still it's 55%. It has not come to 20%.
Speaking about, since you're talking about revenues, and that's the most important thing, IPL 24 revenues, television versus digital. Where do you see, what do you see the revenue possibilities like, considering that this is perhaps the last time in the foreseeable future that linear and digital will be sold by two different entities as far as IPL 24 is concerned? So what's the revenue going to be like?
So I think potentially this year IPL revenues on the TV side could grow at about 8-10% versus last year, because last year we have seen a decline of about 25% because of Jio Cinema offering IPL free on digital. So that led to some shift in consumption. And digital, I think, will grow at 15-18% on that base, which is reasonably high. So I think potentially putting both into perspective, we could end up at a number of somewhere close to about 4,500 to 5,000 crores for IPL alone this year, TV and digital. Now, this is because both platforms are selling it separately, TV and digital. Okay. But obviously, next year onwards, we will see this being sold by one single platform. So I think that bargaining power will somewhere move in favor of the platform and not the advertiser. Because the advertiser, if they want to advertise on IPL, the platforms are going to bundle this and sell this property. So I think there's a potential synergy here for better revenue for IPL. And if your assumption is about 8-10% this year in terms of total growth in ad revenue for IPL, TV plus digital, potentially it could go at 15-18% if the synergies are there and if the advertiser interest is there.
Obviously.
Television, you put a spot out there on linear, it goes to the whole world and it's on. The entire universe that's tuned in can receive and will be having that in their feeds on television. Digital, Jio Cinema with all its amazing innovations and solid engagement opportunities that it's giving everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Will then tell advertisers you can target well and even better and probably give solid geo-targeting and therefore get even the smaller advertisers into the system. How do you look at that going forward?
So definitely. So yeah, I think IPL, as I said, is one property which the advertiser cannot avoid, right? So
absolutely.
Here, I think the platform will get a better bargaining power because both TV digital come under one kitty after next year if the merger goes through subject to approvals, right? So I think this is like a very big win-win proposition in a way. And to your question in terms of TV versus digital in terms of the advertiser and the audience, now the TV audience is slightly different as compared to digital audience. Digital audience is more youth-led, TV audience is more the middle, old age-led and the family-led, which is there. But sports, as I said, is one piece of content where people can even watch in a family, right? So if you look at other type of digital content, you require personalization where people don't want to watch it with family. It's personal nature. But sports is something which you can watch in a family, which is why I say TV again will coexist with digital. So when it comes to brand building, when it comes to, you know, kind of, you know, these larger FMCG brands, the reach in terms of masses, TV will be there. TV will be very big over there. But when it comes to, you know, some smaller D2C brands who cannot maybe afford TV in terms of advertising, who want smaller tickets, some SME companies who want to advertise aggressively on this property, but they can't, you know, buy slots on TV because it's kind of expensive in nature or have smaller budgets in size, there you will find digital as a respite. So I think in terms of number of advertisers, to put it that way, the number of digital advertisers will be far more as compared to TV advertisers because the number of digital advertisers is going to be highly fragmented. You'll have multiple layers, multiple types of advertisers who want to advertise.
And of course, but then the average ticket size on television will be much bigger, frankly.
Yes, absolutely.
And that, I think, will take some time getting over. We have linear and OTT as the two big pipelines of content delivery and consumer connect, Karan. I was speaking with Pankaj Krishna only in my last episode, and he said that the big problem for TV is that television sets are being bought, every one of them. I mean, exaggerating to make a point, but nearly every one of them is a smart TV.
Correct.
So the boxes are not being bought because of the low infrastructure costs and the low internet costs, which are like a pittance today compared to what it was earlier.
Correct.
So therefore, how do you look at linear TV in the midst of this connected TV adoption?
So as you said, you know, Pavanji, about TV, right? You say linear TV, connected TV, you watch IPL on Jio Cinema on the larger screen. That's what sports is all about, the large screen. Now, in terms of connected TV, what is happening is that you are doing that because you have a connected TV. Not everybody has got a connected TV. So unless we don't see strong adoption of connected TV, I mean, the number of households of connected TV today, not more than 20 million. That's not more than 7-8% of the total TV household universe that we have, roughly.
20 to 45 million is what those who are,
let's say it's about 20
in favor of connected TV or
correct.
Believe.
So let's say the numbers invariably even at 25, 30 million TV households, that's not more than 12 to 14% penetration at a best case scenario. So my only point is that once we don't see these penetration levels moving towards 40% or 50%, we will not see ad dollars in a big manner. Obviously, ad dollars will grow on connected TV, right? But they can't reach that scale or base as compared to what linear TV has got. In the midst of this, why would somebody watch an IPL on linear TV if the connected TV is giving it free of cost, unless you have the data bandwidth.
Exactly.
So on connected TV, the problem is twofold. One is penetration and second is a bandwidth. You need to have very good bandwidth to watch this kind of content seamlessly. So people will not do cord cutting, and say that I don't want to watch sports completely on linear TV, because somewhere linear TV has got a respite. You can watch it seamlessly without any interruption. Whereas, if the internet connection is not correct, if your data plans are not apt, you will see buffering issues, on the connected TV side. So, which is why I say both will coexist. But yes, there can be a business model in the future of connected TV is that, you can probably have a premium offering of IPL, which is on connected TV, wherein you charge the customer and there are some interactivity over there. There is some camera angles. There are some premium offerings which you have. And then you have the linear TV if you want to view it at a lower cost, which there. So, I think this is how linear TV and connected TV will coexist, wherein connected TV will become more of a premium offering with premium features and premium subscription, and linear TV will be slightly cheaper in terms of the customer wallet.
Let me submit a thought to you. Around 75 million homes in India, guesstimate, are not even single TV homes.
Correct.
Today, how many of those box CRT kind of TVs are being sold? Rhetorical question, obviously the answer is zero. Every TV, even the cheapest 6,000 rupee TV, is a smart TV.
Yes.
Is a potentially connectable and therefore connected TV.
Yes.
Jio is really empowering every individual in India with its telco services, with its internet, right? So I just feel and believe that if all those 75 million TVs that are going to be bought, if every home, first they will want to buy a TV for everyone and then they will go on to the smartphones, etc. Therefore, connected TV is going to be huge and it will literally replace linear TV in the new first TV homes, if you ask me, in terms of not having to buy a set-top box.
So one more point to add over here, connected TV, as you rightly said, people are buying only smart TVs.
Correct.
But you also have to track the wired broadband penetration numbers, which is still sub 20%. Agreed. So once that number goes up, is when you will actually see people consuming also connected TV. Because right now, the smart TV could be used via a box. So if the wired broadband penetration is good, if your data speed is good, if the pricing is proper, people are being able to afford that kind of proposition. Because even today, TV is very cheap as compared to digital TV, connected TV. If you include the data cost, TV cost is 1/4 as compared to what the digital would be.
Correct.
So, which is why I say, again, both will actually coexist in their different manner in terms of the premium and non-premium offerings and in terms of the customer and the advertiser interest.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at the growth prospects for linear TV, you mentioned that obviously when you look at even connected TV, for instance, later, it becomes premium and sports has a lot of, content inputs. There is a need to reinvent content on linear TV.
Yes, which is not happening, unfortunately.
Which is not happening. So I want to ask you, as the analyst who has been looking at the space relentlessly every day across every kind of platform and medium, we'll come to theater also later. What is your, if you had carte blanche and you said, okay, you know what, industry, this is what we need to do to get more and more viewers hooked on to television, because the only loyalty is to the quality of the content, not to the channel. So what would you say? What would help television, linear TV grow further? And not just on sports, but on fiction and all the other important genres.
So I think, one thing which is very favorable for linear TV is the sheer size in terms of number of households.
Right.
So connected TV has not reached that level. There is no data to prove that connected TV can become so big in scale.
Not at all.
So in terms of reach, households, the connect TVs, linear TVs, that's an advantage which is there for now. Second big advantage, I think, which is there forever is the pricing, right? India is a price sensitive country. ARPUs, as I told you, is 1/4 or 1/5 as compared to digital. So that edge will remain forever. Now, the only thing is, let's go backward in terms of what the platform can do, what the channels can do. Frankly, they can't do much. Right, because the point is, if they stick on to, premium or rather exclusive content only on TV and they say, I will not offer it on digital, they will not see growth for that content, right?
Okay.
So, most of the broadcasters have got a OTT platform wherein they offer catch-up TV content. So, earlier this catch-up TV content came with a lag of maybe 1 hour, 2 hours, 6 hours. Now, it is streamed live.
Absolutely.
So, now it has become even more disruptive. Right. So my point is that now I think they will be able to monetize better on connected TV through live streaming of those same TV shows. So in a way, I believe that from a future standpoint, I don't foresee that TV will reinvent itself because of censorship issues again. So I don't foresee TV content changing drastically. But yes, advertising dollars for the platform will definitely see a flip. So for example, if a broadcaster is able to make 100 rupees through linear TV advertising, and if that 100 becomes 80, I'm pretty much sure that he can make the balance 20 from the connected TV offering, wherein the same content is being streamed live on the Catch Up TV app or the ZEE5 app or whatever the broadcaster platform would be. So I think this is the win-win proposition. And that 20 can eventually become 40 basis the content which they make, how good, how strong the content is, if they're able to garner more viewers for that content versus TV alone, and basis the user experience of the platform.
And also, you look at a story on a newspaper today, Times of India, for instance. There's no breaking news, right?
Correct.
So something that was the biggest headline yesterday comes as a short little summary in a box. But the rest is an exclusive piece which nobody else has read so far. And the Times and the major newspapers really presented beautifully.
Yes.
The same thing Colors or Viacom did with Big Boss. There's a separate kind of a stream that's going on was earlier on Voot, now on Jio Cinema, and a separate thing there. So this complementariness is definitely going to help.
So they'll have to figure technology on two things, the broadcasters on the OTT side. One is to give the best data to the advertisers in terms of insights, who's viewing, because on BARC, there's a lot of limitations.
We'll come to measurements.
Yeah, and the second very important factor is user experience of the own app. So when the customer is using the app, the customer is willing to pay for that content or the user experience. So these two things, they have to get it corrected. Right.
Karan, first there was TV, then arrived OTT. But OTT, not a single platform is making any money. Nobody has broken even. Right? So there are two kinds of OTT platforms. One, like, the ones with international parents, like an Amazon, or like, of course, the big daddy of them all, Netflix, which is perhaps the only one making money in India on subs, on OPEX, not on CAPEX, but still Monica and her team are doing a great job there. Right? So, and that's no comment on the others. It's just that, the pedigree, the amount of content that Netflix gives you, it wrote off $20 billion 6 years ago on content costs.
Correct.
So that is an investment. But not one of the OTT platforms in India is making any money. There are the two kinds, like I said, the international ones. And then there are all the other Indian broadcasters on which nurses a beautiful, vibrant, but still young and slightly sickly little OTT calf each. What will it take and how much time will it take for OTT to start making money? Difficult question, I know. But
so, had you asked me this question 2 years ago, I would have said that within 3 years, you'll see a break-even for most of these platforms.
Yeah.
But after Jio Cinema is offering IPL free, I think this time will be more prolonged. Because, let's take it this way. You have got the most premium content, the most watched content in India, sports is the religion, being offered free.
Right.
So, I don't expect, that platforms will be able to charge for any other content in a premium manner. I mean, ARPUs will be there. There will be SVOD subscriptions. Number of subscribers will grow on their base. All those numbers are fine. But can it scale up beyond a point? The answer is no, not for now. I think they'll have to still bear some more losses unless they start charging for IPL. So let's assume 2 years down the line, they start charging for IPL some money. Then you might see some respite for these players. Otherwise, for these players, I think the one thing is that the losses will continue for some more years as compared to what one would have thought. And second trigger is consolidation. So if at all we are seeing consolidation, like for example, now we're seeing consolidation with RIL Disney, if the deal goes through, that's going to be a big win-win situation in favor of the platforms, right? Because then what that will do is that they potentially have got 30% market share on the OTT side or the 35%. Invariably, they'll become the largest player, right? And the smaller players will actually struggle to even raise money for content costs or even to kind of run their businesses. So they might look for larger partners. So if consolidation happens, then there will be some respite for the larger player or the smaller. But the larger players, because they can do more partnerships, they can have economies of scale, they can charge the customer a premium ARPU, they can get better advertising dollars because of such big variety of content, and that's how things will go. But consolidation is a key in terms of how that pans out further is a monitorable.
And you answered my next question, which was what is the effect, likely effect of the Disney Reliance consolidation or coming together going to be on OTT? You already answered that. So yeah, absolutely fine. I completely am.
So in fact, just to add on that, the impact of that RIL Disney on digital side is also one more thing, is that they will have the widest variety of content. You know, they will have global TV shows. They will have English content of Hollywood movie content, which is there. They will have original web series. They'll have the biggest catch-up TV content. Star is a market leader in many genres today. They will have IPL. They will have other offerings of, you know, Jio movies, Jio Studios, which are there.
So it's Jio Studios.
Very, very wide variety of content offerings. It's unmatched, right? It's unmatched. I mean, a customer will not be able to do without Jio Cinema. As simple as that.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think that is a clear win-win. And the biggest thing here is that the impact of this on the digital side is the distribution angle. So Jio, as you know, they've got more than 500 million smartphones as their subscribers. They could offer it as a Jio Prime. They could do whatever with that. They could offer it with a Jio Fiber, you know. So multiple things can be done over there. They've got a very good last mile. I'll tell you what happens, Pavanji. When a platform in India, for example, let's say the likes of Zee, or let's take any other broadcaster. I don't name ABC broadcaster.
Okay.
For that broadcaster, there is no recall within the customer, because that broadcaster was always there, and he was dealing with the MS or the DTH operator who was dealing with the customer.
Absolutely.
So there is no direct connect for the broadcaster with the customer. With digital, that mindset has to change.
Right.
The platform has to connect with the customer, right? So every time a platform is being made by a broadcaster, that platform piggybacks on telecoms and OEMs. And 80% of subscription revenue, or 70% of subscription revenue, comes from partnerships, which leads to lower ARPUs, because that platform or the partner will ask you for minimum guarantees, will ask you for a revenue share or whatever it is. But with Jio, that's not the case. You have got the widest variety of content. You've got the distribution angle. So all the money comes into the company, because they don't need to invest into, you know, giving MGs or giving revenue share to a partner. That's a very, very big win-win. So even with lower ARPUs, they can do better versus competitors, because the company is in-house.
So Karan, OTT, as I said, and you agree, isn't making money. But it has come and dealt a solid blow at the knees of the theatrical business in India, right? The whole tug of war between, you know, a theatrical premiere and then the OTT screening and all of that has completely come and dealt a body blow to theatrical, right? I saw a very recent analysis of yours on a couple of movies that got released, and it sort of filled me with a lot of sunshine, because you did look at the brighter side of things. And since theatrical and theaters need so much of solid investment and physical infrastructure, and they've been the original passion project for every family to go out and celebrate whenever they can, once a week.
Stars have been created on that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So how do you look at the prospects of theater, the theatrical business in India? And, you know, look, years ago, Star went and bought the best of cricket. Sony had also got it earlier, right? And then the government said, you know what? Cricket is a national passion. Give it for free to DD, which is ridiculous. But on the same lines, now I'm saying theater is such a big intrinsic, much invested in property or way of life or sector, or call it what you will, it's everything in India. Do you think there should be some kind of preferential support for the theatrical business in the space, whether regulatory, whether industry gets together or what? Because cinema is a great tradition, and cinema employs so many people, and there are so many chains and what have you, so many screens across the country. What should be done to empower and help theater? Where do you see it going? Long question, but take it away.
So, you know, firstly, theater from a footfall standpoint, 20% of footfalls have been wiped off from the market because of OTT. Okay. One thought that OTT is not a threat, but OTT is a threat. It's very much visible in the numbers, because people are not going to consume small, medium budget films in cinemas. They're only consuming large budget films. If you look at the data, pre-COVID times, the split between small, medium budget and large budget films in terms of Hindi box office was around 50-50 largely.
Okay.
Today, that number is 90% led by large budget films, which means frequency has taken a sharp drop, and people are going to cinemas only if the film is worth their time, effort and money. Because even ticket prices have, you know, increased by 40-50% since pre-COVID times. So I think this is a structural disruption here, what we are seeing. But I think in the last 2-3 months, I think films like Hanuman, Article 370, you know, Crew, multiple small, medium budget films have done well. It's showing some respite, but this trend has to continue. Okay, that's point number one. And secondly, I think we need more large budget films because even the flow of films has come down. And it's not because films are going to OTT. It is also because, you know, OTT platforms are saying that, you know, they're not able to buy rights because of budget constraints and all those kind of things. And the flow of films has come down because not every producer is capable to make films which are cost of 200 crores plus. Right? Because medium budget, small budget films number have come down because there is no acceptance of these films in cinemas.
Correct.
So I'm saying this is the structural trend which is here to stay. Now to address the question in terms of what could be done as a future standpoint, one move is already taken care, consolidation. So PVR INOX consolidation is done. So that's a very big saving grace for them. They've got synergies. They've made the business better in terms of efficiencies, better in terms of profitability. So that is done. I think beyond this, you know, 5 years back, we were debating that, you know, we should have more screens. We should build more screens, develop more screens. Our penetration is low per screen basis. I don't think that is required for now. Because for now, the frequency has come down very sharply. I think until unless we see a structural thing in terms of the content kind of issues getting arrested, wherein you have most medium budget films, people going in large numbers, footfalls going beyond pre-COVID, until unless that doesn't happen, we should not think of very hefty screen growth. I mean, 5-8% screen growth is fine, but not beyond that. That's one thing. Secondly, from a government standpoint, I think what they can do is they can definitely try and help them in form of some kind of swaps, right? They could give, you know, GST waivers. They could probably, you know, do some kind of a window arrangement with OTT in terms of now the window, I think, is very different. Some producers are asking 4 weeks, some producers are asking 8 weeks. So somewhere if the window time is reduced, it does impact theatrical footfall. We see that in the numbers as well. So I think these are things which they can do, but beyond the point, I mean, I don't see cinemas going to that 20% plus growth trajectory on top line as compared to what they were pre-COVID. I think that structural trend is there. I think growth rates will now remain 10 to 12%, which means that 6-7% screen growth and 6-7% of other revenue growth. Which is
and they have the occasional tiny blip of, okay, showing huge sports property matches, etc. But that's really
But that, I think, will not impact. I was just talking to somebody today in the morning. So, you know, cinemas generally do a show, number of shows are about 4.5-5 shows a day, which is almost about, you can say, about 140 shows in a month. And let's say if you have 2 or 3 large events, which are, you know, going household because of these concerts or sports events, or whatever it is, you will eventually have only about 8 to 10 shows getting full. But what about the balance 130 shows?
No, agreed.
So
absolutely.
Film content is extremely important for cinemas to be on course and for cinemas to, you know, get back their footfall and occupancy numbers back on track.
Karan, let's talk about digital advertising and its growth across segments. You know, how it's grown when you look at the AdX revenues and what are the growth mechanisms that can come into place to take it even further. Give us a bit of a look back and then your look forward with your own guesstimates or analysis of what to expect in the future as far as different parts of the digital ecosystem and economy, whether it's content or whether it's sales, empowering the whole space of digital.
So I'll just take this in a very slightly detailed manner. Digital advertising in India about 11 years back was around 8 to 10%
right.
share,
okay,
which is today 50%. So there were two very big things which happened and worked favorably for digital advertising to really move this, see this up move. One is, of course, you know, the affordable data, which came in CY 15-16, when, you know, Jio started offering mobile data free. So the speed really moved up in terms of the acceleration in terms of growth. And second is COVID, right? So these two mega trends actually led to digital advertising scale up in a very big manner. And that's why we've seen this kind of a jump.
Right.
I think going ahead, unless any kind of a black swan event happens in favor of digital advertising, whether be it whatever, we don't see this kind of growth coming back on track. That's very frank, right? So the growth rates came what at 35-40%, 30%, 20%, now have come to 15%. I think that's where it will stabilize. But within that, within the, you know, the platforms within digital advertising, you'll still see underperformers, outperformers, right? So for example, video saw very sharp acceleration during the 4G era. The number of video advertising in terms of total digital was not more than 10%. Today it's about 30-35%. E-commerce has seen a big surge because of COVID. People wanted to consume and do shopping online. This number of e-commerce was sub 5%. Today, it is around 15-20%. So, I think within that, you will keep seeing shifts. I think social search will probably grow below the average or largely, you know, at the average and a best case scenario. But e-commerce and video will still see very, very strong growth. I think e-commerce growth in India will be more than 30-40% because globally itself, e-commerce growth rate is about 25%. A lot of your traffic is moving from search. Customers are not searching for products and services on search, but on e-commerce platforms. Second, of course, is video. So I think because of sports, IPL, I mean, look at the number, right? India sports advertising today is about 7% of total ad spends. That's a large number. Absolutely. Just one genre, one sports. So sports will be a big driver, you know, to for this overall ad spend. So I think you'll have 15% growth rate for digital, which is fair. I think 15%, which means that, you know, in the next 3 to 5 years, we will reach somewhere towards global average number of 70% on digital advertising. That's a fair assumption. But within that, you will find underperformers and outperformers. And I think e-commerce and video still have some juice left in there.
Now, the biggest problem, how does a country with an ADEX economy as large as it is, even though it's smaller than the rest of the world in terms of, you know, apples to apples, like India, how does it survive in the absence of measurement? I mean, let's look at it like this. The biggest problem today besetting media and entertainment in India is measurement, right? I mean, extremely inadequate in television, non-existent virtually in OTT, but thankfully COT is doing a great job. And if you look at it in spread and measurement and what it delivers vis-a-vis BARC in terms of panels and samples and, you know, the reach, etc., it's doing a much better job on OTT. But nevertheless, platforms will give out their own versions or figures and numbers on matches on the top right. And both are justified. So I'm not finding fault there. All I'm saying is, like, television definitely has one which is applicable to all, the currency. And COT is giving that similar currency, but it needs to be more popular and more sort of looked at. Look at the print. Only ABC?
IRN.
Only maybe... Only an FPJ, perhaps, from Bombay is subscribing to ABC.
Correct.
Nobody else wants to do it because of their restrictive conditions, okay, and putting publishers in the shackles, which is wrong. And then you have the IRS, which is dormant. It's a big fat bear which gives great data. I was talking to Sundar Swamy, you know, and he also told me that marketers, the kind of data they want will come from IRS. That's what they get and that's what they refer to. But it's been dormant since 2019.
Participation needs to be there.
Right? Look at radio.
Correct.
Hundreds of stations.
RAM.
Hundreds of cities. Four cities being measured. Correct? Only digital is addressable and measured.
Correct.
So, what... I mean, if you had carte blanche, what would you do for the industry? Tell them that, look, we need to get together. We need to measure. Because otherwise, these mom and pop shops, which do these little perception studies, saying a client will say, I need to reach here. I want this conclusion out. So the questions will be structured in a way that invariably lead the poor person down there because it's the maze with only one way out.
So I think
measurement.
Measurement is a very big challenge, Pavanji, specifically for TV, right? I mean, one of the reasons, apart from, you know, the shift in consumption, one of the reasons why TV is losing ad dollars is also BARC and the measurement system, right? I mean, frankly, the measurement systems have not been updated with time. They haven't moved beyond time. They're still stuck at those 40,000-50,000 sample boxes, which still today are kind of taken by the advertiser. I mean, advertiser does invest money, you know, basis that, because that is something which they at least have rather than having nothing. It's a better thing. They at least get some indication in terms of where the consumption or the time spent is. But I think the innovation is a lag there, right? Digital, of course, as you said, you know, everybody has got data and everybody produces data. I think we need to have one neutral agency on the digital side as well. There is ample scope here. Like, we have Comscore in the US, right? One very good digital agency who will measure data, you know, for all the platforms, like how we had BARC. Because when BARC came, I think around 2015, around that time, you saw that, you know, there was a big shift. I mean, this was the first time the most innovative measurement system being formed. A lot of appreciation globally as well for this kind of a measurement system. So I think with so much of money being involved, and digital has got its own set of problems with frauds and bots also, apart from
leaning. And nobody's worried about the programmatic frauds.
Exactly. So I think we need to have one central measurement mechanism system wherein the industry, the top-notch leaders of the digital industry or the platforms need to come together and invest. If you look at Bark, I think it's an investment by advertisers, broadcasters, and agencies.
Agencies put together.
So I think similar thing needs to be formed for the digital side as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure the toughest part would be unity. Getting all the platforms on the same lines.
And those three communities of advertisers, broadcasters, and agencies have come together very beautifully on
Bark,
frankly.
Absolutely.
60% broadcasters, 20 and 20 for the other
two.
They
all have stakes in it.
But they have equal voting rights.
Exactly.
So that is a beautiful spirit.
Yeah.
I also want to add something to what you said, just an example of that. When you speak about OTT and like a Comscore internationally, look at what Netflix has done now for its OE order.
Yes, they've started
it's
to throw
gone
some
and
data.
Told, it's gone and brought in an integral ad science, a double verify to actually let marketers see the measurement.
Correct.
That's amazing. So that's the thing that everybody needs to start doing so that there is a uniform numbers code of conduct.
If this practice comes, mark my words, Pavanji, video advertising will become double in the next 3 years. If this kind of practice comes.
Absolutely.
So it is basically, you know, it is working to their, it is working against them now. For them not coming, being united, or for them delaying this thing is something which is working against them.
Karan, I have really enjoyed this conversation. I love the insights. There is so much for everybody to think about. And you've given lots of deep dives to all. So thank you very much indeed. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Tell me, what did you think of our chat today?
Likewise, Pavanji, it's been a pleasure to be a part of this and some really deep dive thoughts on the M&A industry. And I must say that you are also very knowledgeable in terms of sharing such amazing questions and obviously sharing your insights. So it's a pleasure to be and thank you so much for this one.
Most welcome. Thanks. And one more question.
Yeah.
What do you think of the kind of stuff that MediaBrief does?
I think really appreciate the way y'all are there. I think a lot of the things are really breaking. So a lot of the things which I get on my WhatsApp specifically is a breaking news which I get first from you. So it's good. Wow. It's very instant, very fast, speed of fire. So keep doing the good work. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Karan. Godspeed and God bless to you too. So that was Karan Tavrani, the brilliant analyst from Elara Capital, the senior vice president there, on this episode of our award-winning series, MVP The Master's Voice podcast. I hope you enjoyed the conversation and found it as insightful as I most certainly did. Till we meet again in the next episode of MVP The Master's Voice podcast, this is your host and friend Pavan Chawla saying, take care, stay safe, be well, and do well. Bye-bye.